Happy Monday and welcome to Real Talk. This is just two guys' insignificant views on movies and the movie industry. You can follow us on Twitter at Real Talk Film or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Talk Film. All right, welcome to the show.
Another day, another podcast. Welcome to Real Talk. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Nick.
Let's get this party started. How's your week so far, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Man, my week was awesome. Yeah. I got Movie Pass, shameless plug. This last week my card finally came in, and so I've literally been at a movie theater at about 10 p.m. every night since Monday.
I've been looking at that Movie Pass invite you sent me, and I've just been staring at it in my inbox. I haven't got it paid yet, so I can't get it. And my wife has not. She won't lend me any money.
She hasn't okayed it or, like, won't help you fund it.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be able to go out and see any movies this weekend, but I actually went out and saw Flight.
Oh, nice. Good. Because I didn't get to... someone is making me wait to see that one. So I didn't get to see that this week. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that. I saw Skyfall and Lincoln.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk about those then.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get started. Let's hit up the movie news.
News team, assemble!
All right, it's time for some movie news. And the first one out of the gate is Lucasfilms has confirmed they have a writer for Episode 7.
Oh, yeah.
And it is none other than Toy Story 3 scribe Michael Ardent.
Yeah,
it's French.
Gotcha. So you just don't say any of the consonants. It's just Ardent.
Listen, I just speak American, and that Ardent. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I mean, you heard me last week, and maybe I lost fans on that one, just being not super excited for the Star Wars thing. I am a very big fan of Michael Arndt's work. I love Little Miss Sunshine, which is the other thing he did, for those of you who are like, do I really want Star Wars Toy Story version?
Even if it was Star Wars Toy Story version, I thought Toy Story 3 was a great little action film.
Absolutely. Well, and I just think story-wise, it was great, because The thing about Pixar at its best is that it is an adult film wrapped in a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like that feel. I like, his serious work is good. His Pixar work is good. I'm very, very excited. I still want to see who the director is, but that alone gave me enough faith in what they're doing to go, okay, you guys are thinking, you're picking good people. You're going to be on top of this. So I was super excited to see that.
And they've been, oh my gosh, all week there's been nothing coming in my news feeds but rumored directors.
Yeah.
It's been nuts. And they've been trying to confirm and deny. And so far there's nobody on board for it. But at least they have a writer. And it sounds, I mean, I'm going to really enjoy it. Because Toy Story 3 really, it was great, because not only, it was an emotional roller coaster for me.
Yeah.
Because he did really well with playing the emotional keys of the relationship of Andy growing up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leaving behind his childhood, essentially.
Right. Right. I mean, I bawled my eyes. I'm not afraid to say this. I bawled my eyes out at the end.
Me too.
I mean, I remember giving up my toys. Like, I remember handing my Beast Wars and my Transformers in to go to, like, a Goodwill. And so, like, that was palpable for me.
And he can't do much worse than Lucas did on the fucking prequels.
Oh, exactly. Well, and honestly, and I think for people who are, like, really hardcore Star Wars people, Michael Arndt is a guy who's kind of thought of in comic con circles as an original Star Wars scholar. Like, when they have panels about the original three Star Wars, he's the guy they put on those panels.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like he's super involved in that universe. He is the guy who they I found this out when I was reading up on it this week. I have a major Star Wars friend who was like just geeking out over the fact that they picked Michael Arden. He is a huge Star Wars fan. He is a knowledgeable Star Wars fan. He is considered as scholarly as you can get on the original films. And so when you tie that with his ability to craft a story, I think you're going to end up with something really awesome.
That's awesome. We should do like a, seeing that everyone's such a Star Wars fanatic here, we should just do a Star Wars themed podcast, like a feature in a couple months and have your buddy join us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a she, and she's down in your area, but she would totally be in for it. I think it would be cool to do an interview with her. I also have a guy friend of mine named Doug who, I mean, the guy has, over his mantle, a painting of Boba Fett in a tuxedo.
Oh, that sounds so romantic.
I know, right? His entire house, I'm good friends with both he and his girlfriend. His entire house is just geeked out beyond recognition. I'd love to hear his thoughts on this, because I think she was really for this and he was really against it. And so I'd like to see both of them, not the Michael Arden thing, but the Disney buying LucasArts thing. And so I'd love to hear them kind of talk about it.
Oh, no, we don't want to. We need to record them in a ring with two broken beer bottles. And whoever comes out alive has the correct opinion.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you settle arguments, right?
That's how I settle arguments.
If I can physically kill you, then I have the right opinion.
No. Because death, you'll go to jail. But just harm them harm them enough to where they're injured and they can't speak.
Oh man. Okay.
Well,
that works. I'm super excited about this. I think he is a brilliant pick. And I'm starting to see that they're taking this seriously and that they're putting the right amount of thought into it. So I'm very much okay with this, and I'm starting to get excited.
Good. Well, moving from one universe to another, Paramount has confirmed that Mark Wahlberg is going to be the star of Transformers 4.
Oh man.
Now listen, if you're gonna do an action movie and you're gonna make a Star Wars, okay, and you're gonna have Michael Bay direct it.
You mean Transformers, not Star Wars.
Yeah.
We're still on Star Wars, man. We're just a Star Wars podcast.
If you're going to make a Transformers movie and you've already made three with Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have? Shia LaBeouf or Mark Wahlberg?
I mean, I think Mark Wahlberg is a much better pick. I just don't see the point to more Transformers movies with Michael Bay.
I don't either, but it's going to happen. So, yeah. I mean, we got to make the best of it. And the best of it would be to have actually somebody who can take the lead like Mark Wahlberg can. I enjoy him. Yeah.
Somebody who looks like they can take a hit. I mean, that's definitely something that...
Yeah, who's not just running the entire movie.
Right, for sure.
So I kind of like it. I don't expect too much dialogue. And if there is, it's probably going to be in line with something that I could write, 5-year-old level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel you and I have had this conversation before, but I feel like Michael Bay's creative process is I would like to destroy New York. Now I'm going to write a movie where the centerpiece of that film could be me destroying New York because I've just always wanted to do that.
And he's done that in every single one of his movies.
Exactly, right? And so, I mean, I think there was an Onion piece a while back that talked about how Michael Bay was really a terrorist and, like, we didn't see the signs in all of his movies of him just...
He's really part of the Taliban.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out successful ways to just take everything out.
No, you know what he's doing? He's writing blueprints to the terrorists in his movies. This is how you do it.
Yeah. No, if you really want to destroy America, you need to create giant AI robots. That's what you need.
It will happen.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, it will happen, man. Just this week, I saw some guy with a prototype of like a Terminator 2 hand, and he controls it with his arm. And I'm like, no, Skynet.
No. I know for sure. I mean, if you combine Siri in that thing and then someone releases the eye hand, I just think it's over. I think that we go underground and that's how that goes.
Well, then there's this other company that's released prototypes, and they have video on YouTube. I don't know the name of them, but they might as well be called Skynet. They have like these animals that are running as fast as 40 miles an hour, and they're all machines. And then you have these ones that are navigating upstairs, and they jump up top of buildings. It's only a matter of time before it's going to happen.
Didn't that same company also create a robot that's on YouTube right now doing the Gangnam Style dance?
I don't want to think about it because that's for humans, not for robots.
That is a sacred ritual.
That's against the law.
I know, right? I mean, this is where we start to go Blade Runner on their ass, right?
Yeah. So I know that you went to go see 007 this weekend.
I did.
Well, it's probably no surprise. It may have been seen. I didn't see it, so maybe you saw it in the performance, but Daniel Craig wants out of the role.
See, no, I saw that you posted this, and I've heard conflicting stories on this. I've heard that he has changed his mind and is in for like up to three more. And I've heard that no, he's completely done, and they're not doing another arc with him in it. And so, I mean, I'm not really sure. I actually wanted to just ask you some questions on that because I've seen just majorly conflicting stories.
Let me try to clear it up. This week. I mean, it's hard to argue this because he talked to Rolling Stone, Stone magazine.
Right.
And his quote was, I've been trying to get out from this very moment I got into it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been trying to get out from this from the very moment I got into it.
Yeah.
He has two more films, of course, that he signed on to do. He was hoping that Skyfall would bomb. So that way they would just fire him.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And this
was in
the Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah. That might be where the conflicting information is then, because he signed on for two more. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So if he signed on for two more, unless they just horribly suck, which I'm just going to be honest, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Then yeah, I think he's an amazing Bond. He's probably my second favorite, to Sean Connery, which I think just de facto is Bond. But I think it's
Daniel Craig's looking really old.
I was going to say, I mean, you could visibly see it wearing on him in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Pierce Brosnan was old like that. I don't know that that's necessarily...
Yeah, but he was really smooth. Like
that's very true.
I'm not gay, but I'd probably be gay for him.
I mean, not my type, but I can see that. I would go for more of a rugged, you know, Daniel Craig kind of guy, but hey,
to each his own, man, you know.
I know, yeah. I mean, we're completely talking in the theoretical here, so, but may I remind our listeners, or listener, depending on who's out there, we are both married.
Not for long, not if we meet those guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone has to have the celebrity list, right?
We have separate lists. You're like, your wife's like, who do you have on your list? And it's like, number one, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, yeah. anyways, but no, I mean, you could see it visibly wearing on him. I also think it's just, I mean, he's a great actor. I think it's a good career move for him to try his best to get out of this so it doesn't mark him for the rest of his life.
But wouldn't you want something like this to be on your list? Like, you were like, I'm a Bond guy. It didn't hurt any of the other Bond guys.
No, well, I mean, I could make an argument that it killed Roger Moore, but maybe he needed to be destroyed.
So, what? I mean, that's one. But, I mean, I think it's helped his career more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. I look back at Daniel Craig in movies like Layer Cake, which I don't know if you've seen, but is fantastic, and kind of wonder if he wants to go back to some of, like, more on that level of, mm-hmm. of work.
You think he doesn't want to be, like, this big, huge star, and he just kind of wants his privacy?
I think he doesn't want to be Jason Statham.
Ooh, good point. That's a good... You know what? I think Jason Statham likes being Jason Statham, though.
Yeah, I really think Jason Statham likes it, and I think that's why he keeps doing the same movie over and over again.
I will drive you to your destination.
Yeah, exactly, right? I think that's there, but I think Daniel Craig doesn't want to be that. And so I think that Bond was the opportunity of a lifetime, particularly with Casino Royale, as different and as incredible as it was. But I think it's smart for him to kind of look around. I don't think he wants that to mark him forever.
Well, to wrap this story up, he has, I mean, this is a terrible thing to say about your own movie before it comes out. But he said, the best thing about the movie is the animated opening credit sequence with music provided by Adele.
I mean, that was that was really good. I'm an audio nerd. I want to have sex with the reverb they used on Adele's voice.
You might as well just, you can't say that. What you got to say is, I want to sit on a speaker and put that on repeat.
I mean, what makes you think I don't do that regularly?
I want video.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yeah, Pixar didn't happen. Well, you ready to blow things up?
I am.
How about a bombshell?
Okay.
That Sylvester Stallone confirms Nicolas Cage for Expendables 3.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so I'm a fan of the Expendables movies, even though it's so not the general movie I go for.
Oh, I love these movies.
And I'm such a fan of it because it's like, they know exactly what they're doing, and they're making fun of themselves the entire time.
This is the classic... Just the classic 80s action movie.
Oh, yeah. That really was vilified for a while there. But I feel like, you know, you have Sylvester Stallone and all these guys who are getting together and going, man, these were a lot of fun. Let's just do them again. Mm-hmm. And seriously, it's like the Blob. They just keep bringing in more action stars.
Well, the problem was everybody in the 80s wanted this to happen, but it wasn't going to because these were the top paid actors in Hollywood.
Right.
But now, I mean, all of them just, they don't get any leading roles anymore. So they're like, all right, I'll do it for $1 million. I'll do it for $2 million. And why not? I mean, it's fun. They're at the end of their careers, most would say, except for Arnold Schwarzenegger, who seems to be making 5,000 movies this year.
Lord. Oh my gosh.
But they're also trying to get Harrison Ford, Wesley Snipes, and Mickey Rourke back.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, if you put Harrison Ford and Mickey Rourke in the movie, I will crap my pants publicly. Like, holy crap, that would just be amazing to me to see them both do that. Particularly Harrison Ford in just a bullshit action film.
Oh yeah, with him, you know what? Don't even let him walk around with a gun, just give him a whip.
Oh, dude, yeah, just make him, I mean, have him bring out that cocky Harrison Ford character that we just haven't seen in a long time. Mm.
That would be a lot of fun. And maybe we'll see him again like that since Disney has the Indiana Jones license as well.
Yeah, well, I don't think he'll go for that after just the bomb that the fourth one was. But
he did say, I forgot to tell you this, he did say that he was interested in doing Episode 7. He said he was kind of excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing is, I feel like because George Lucas doesn't have creative control, that people are open to seeing what's going to happen here. Like, the actors are open. And so I feel like you're going to have a much better time getting a lot of the original people involved. Although there are certain original people I don't think you should get involved. you know, but I feel like it's going to be a spectacle to see. I mean, we have a few years to wait for this, but I think
he'd still be open for the Indiana Jones, because it's been well publicized that Steven Spielberg even said that, listen, when you support a friend and he's writing a film, you support him 100%. And he's George Lucas. I mean, nobody really fights him. So those weren't Steven Spielberg's ideas. Those were Lucas's. So nuking the fridge. Yeah. I think that if it came up to a good script, he'd do another one.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I'd love to see a good Indiana Jones. I think that could be done. I don't know if they'd be willing to do it this close to how bad the fourth one was, but I'd be willing to see it.
I'd also like them to come out and just say, all right, guys, Indiana Jones 4 didn't happen.
Yeah, oh, we're striking the record on that. We're doing another 4 that makes more sense.
Yeah, and oh my God, you know how much of a collector's item that would become if they just were like, all right, we're redoing 4.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so amazing. But the other thing I'd like them to do is I'd like to see them redo THX.
Really?
I'd like to see a remake of THX. I think that it could be an epic, epic movie if done correctly.
Hmm. I didn't think about that. I mean, I haven't even seen that movie, but I have seen, you know, stills and trailers, and I've read the premise of it and stuff like that. So, yeah, that would be pretty neat.
Oh. It's a fantastic film, and if you gave it to someone who would be good at it, it would just be mind-blowing.
I wonder if it's on Netflix. I should check it out.
You should. It's worthwhile. I mean, for crying out loud, it was Spielberg and Lucas, and it was for the UCLA film department.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to see them when they're young before they've done anything. And honestly, as much as I harp on George Lucas creatively here, I am someone who believes that George Lucas is quite possibly the father of every piece of modern video and audio technology that we use today. That without him and without LucasArts, we would not be, you and I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now.
Of course. He made digital theaters happen before they were even mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, he made digital theaters happen. He came up with the general concept of being able to do video editing and audio editing on a computer. So Pro Tools and Avid, we owe him completely for that. He's the guy that found John Lasseter and gave the start to making a feature-length 3D computer animation film that then got picked up by Steve Jobs. I mean, if you follow all routes, they all lead back to George Lucas at some level. So, I mean, celebrate the guy, absolutely. But, I think famously, Harrison Ford said, you know, Lucas, you can write this shit, but you're not the one that has to say it.
Right. And, you know, I think that you said it all right there. I shouldn't even add anything right now because you said it perfectly. The man technically has given so much to us, but he sucks at writing right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's never been a great dialogue writer. He's been wonderful at concept. And just like going, hey, this is an awesome idea, but I really, and he's even said, this is what I love. So the Family Guy Star Wars, they actually interviewed George Lucas. And one of the things that he says is, you know, I love making movies that I want to see made, right? So I want to make Star Wars because I want to see movies like this made. I want to see people copy it. And he goes, and in the best case scenario, Steven Spielberg will direct it and take over writing. And in the worst case scenario, I'll do it. I mean, that's George Lucas saying that. Like, right. I remember sitting with a roommate who was a film student of mine and just being like, that guy is just down to earth if he's willing to admit that. That's crazy.
And I think that he got brought back down to earth when Red Tails failed.
Yeah, and that was such a shame because that story needs to be told.
Yeah, and it just didn't get the marketing for the movie.
Yeah.
It just didn't have a budget for that. And people just didn't turn out because it didn't look appealing to the trailers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could tell that it was all CGI all the way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was.
That's the one downfall that I got to say about George Lucas is that he's just used way too much CGI in his films.
Yep.
So.
So that's the Expendables.
So yeah, so that's the Expendables. George Lucas, Expendables.
George, if you're listening, we love you, and that's why most of our podcast is spent talking about your product.
That's right. We just want to tie in. So Warner Brothers is making Tarzan.
Yeah,
I'm not excited.
This is probably
the most boring story that I chose this week.
I was honestly wondering why you threw it in. I was like, well, I guess he's a Tarzan fan. Like, I don't know why we do it.
I chose it, I guess, because of the fact that the story looked interesting because they've been trying to revive this movie for the last several years, and they've had two movies in the making, but this one is the one that's kind of sticking now. Yeah. But I kind of feel I wanted to talk about it because it's like, didn't we get enough Tarzan movies already? I mean, most of them animated.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd have to do a lot to make this interesting.
I think that they're starting to because David Yates has committed to directing.
Right.
And the lead role.
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill, Charlie Hunnam, Alexander Skarsgård, and Tom Hardy is eyed for the lead.
And those are wonderful people, and good choices. I don't think Tom Hardy should do it. I don't even think he's the
I think right. He should do it in the Bane voice.
Oh, God.
Come to me, my animals.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't think Tom Hardy's a good pick. Henry Cavill's interesting, but he's going to be Man of Steel, and so I don't know what that's going to...
He could do it because Tarzan swings from the trees, Superman flies through
Alexander Skarsgård, I think, would be cool.
Yeah. It'd be pretty neat. But, it's not, there's not much really to talk about. I just didn't think that it was that cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be really interested in a Tarzan movie unless they really, but then again, they're remaking everything and all the remakes end up, making $100 million, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, are you excited to see The Hobbit?
I am so... Okay, I'm geeking out over The Hobbit because... And let me preface this. I am not a fan of fantasy, and so, like, Lord of the Rings, I saw all of those films once, maybe twice, and unless my friends had them on in the background and I wasn't really paying attention. But I love The Hobbit in particular because of the technology they're doing on this.
So you didn't watch The Lord of the Rings?
I did. I watched every single one of them in the movie theater at least once is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest fan. I don't watch them for enjoyment today. Like, I don't just go put the DVDs on in
so
my
you
spare
don't,
time.
So you don't own the DVDs?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anyone listening who is a fantasy fan, you may want to skip forward about 5 minutes because he may anger you.
I appreciate that you're not even like taunting them to give me hate mail at this point. You're just like, I think you guys need to learn that Nick is not your guy and I am, and mm-mm, just skip over him.
Nick likes artsy movies.
One of us has to, right? Like, it can't just be a nerd echo chamber.
Give me explosions, a blaster, and some boobs, and we have a movie.
And yet not a Michael Bay fan. Interesting.
Eh. You gotta have some story.
Okay.
No, I enjoyed some of the Transformers, you know, when she's like bending over and she's like, let me check your engine, sir.
Oh, yeah, of course that's what you enjoyed.
I did. Red-blooded man didn't.
Back to The Hobbit, man. Back to The Hobbit. We're pivoting
away. Okay, let's move from sexy woman in shorts to hairy men with beards and short and nasty feet.
Yes.
Sure, this is what everyone wants to hear.
We're not a visual medium. If you can't show a picture, it doesn't make sense, okay?
People have imaginations, Nick.
and the internet, but that's okay.
So The Hobbit got filmed in a different frames per second.
Okay, do you know the specifics? Because I do, and I can just geek out real quick for you.
I do, but I'm gonna let you geek out because you do love the technical, so I'm gonna let you go. Go.
Okay, so it's one of the first films filmed on a Red Epic. Red is a camera company that is just unbelievable. Honestly, go to red.com. You can research all of it. It is amazing. It's revolutionizing how we do film.
I was gonna get a Scarlett.
I know, you and I had talked about that for a long time. They are so amazing.
And I was going to get a Scarlett because it was supposed to be the consumer product.
And then they realized they couldn't do it, so they upped the price.
Right, and it got ridiculous. So I ended up getting a Nikon D5100 to film my stuff.
Nice.
Which is still nice because it still films at 24 frames per second.
Absolutely. Okay, so 24 frames per second or 30 frames per second, that is our we'll launch from there. That's our usual frame rate when we're talking high-definition film.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should at this point know 1080p, which is a standard HD at this point. You're not going to see too much lower than that on any television being sold today, unless you get into a smaller size. So the Red Epic, though, shoots in 5K, which is 5 times 1080p, which is ridiculous. The only televisions being made right now that are capable of showing that are basically made in Japan, and they're like 80 inches long, and they're not going to be sent to us for at least another 3 years.
And I think Samsung made one, and it's ridiculous. It's like $30,000.
I was going to say, it's like 15 grand.
Yeah.
So that's the first piece. The second piece is, it was also filmed in 3D. They added the 3D attachment to it, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I'm interested to see 5K 3D. But also, he basically just pulled a frame rate out of his ass. And so they're shooting at, it's like 50 frames per second, right? Or near 50 frames per second.
It's 48 frames per second.
Yeah. Okay. Now, to put that in perspective, not only is it 5 times 1080p, that's also almost double an HD frame rate.
Right, and the frame rate that is 48 seconds, the reason why he did it is because we as humans see the world around us at 48 frames per second.
Right, now that leads into problem number one. The same issue that people had with Blu-ray initially is the one that they had at CinemaCon when he showed like 13 minutes of footage of The Hobbit, which normally would be like, oh my god, we saw 13 minutes of the footage, but he showed it at the new frame rate. And people were so distracted by how real it looked that they don't even remember what was in the footage.
Right. And it's because of that. It's, I can almost, to give our listeners a little bit of, to something to think about of how it looks. if you take the new TVs, right, they all have this new technology that inserts one extra frame in order to make pans look better on movies.
Right.
Well, it makes it look real. It makes it look different than what film is supposed to be. And shot at 24 frames. So even that one frame per second makes action scenes look really kind of real. And it makes it look, the best way to describe it, it makes it look like a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have complained that it, I think the most common complaint that I get from people who aren't huge, huge tech nerds or huge film nerds are, it looks like a soap opera. Is they're just like, oh, it looks low budget. And I'm like, well, okay, you're, because you've associated soap operas with that look, then yeah, I get that. But at the same time, I'm really excited about this because that level of frame rate means that you actually get to see exactly what the director wanted you to see. You see every change of focus. You see every movement of the camera. You see every minute detail. And so I think that initially it's going to be really disconcerting, just like Blu-ray was. It's going to be really like accosting, and you're not going to know what to do with it. But I think that once the technology gets there, once you can display that better, once it's in everyone's homes, and once directors have accommodated what they're shooting and how they're shooting for the fact that people actually get to see it, it's going to be amazing what it does.
Well, not too many people are going to see it.
Yeah, I know.
They're only showing
it. I'm gonna see it. There's a theater near me that's showing it.
There's only 10% of theaters in the U.S. that are gonna show it at the 48 frames per second. So if you're interested in going and seeing it, I know that every single Cinemark is going to be showing it in one of their theaters that'll have, and I believe it's the XD theaters.
It is the XD theaters.
They're gonna throw it at 48 frames per second with the 3D and the 5K.
Right. I also have, there's an AMC, if you live anywhere in the Chicago area, and I feel comfortable saying that I live in Chicago because it's such a big place that you're never going to find me.
I don't know.
But if you live anywhere in the Chicago area, so the Cinemark in Evanston will be showing it at that rate.
And he lives in a 5-mile radius around that theater, so good luck.
It's more like a 10-mile radius around that theater, but yeah.
You can pinpoint them.
Yeah, but on Illinois Street, River East in downtown Chicago, the AMC actually has a 5K projector, and they will be showing it.
Awesome. Well, while I'm watching that movie, I may be playing with some Legos and building a starship. We have news that a whole bunch of people joined forces to make a Lego movie.
So when you sent me that news piece, I was really confused. I was like, are we talking Lego video game, or like, what are we talking about? They are putting together
a movie. And, so Liam Neeson,
yeah, right.
Will Ferrell, Allison Brie, and Brie. I can never get last.
You're horrible.
Terrible.
Names,
I am with last names. But I think it's enjoyable because I can say first names just fine, but I don't understand why people can't have American last names as well.
I mean, dude, Brie is a cheese. It's not that uncommon.
Well, I'm sorry, but spell it correctly. B-R-E-E, not B-R-I-E.
It's the way that you spell Brie the cheese is B-R-I-E, just so
it's
you know.
It's un-American.
So are most of the people in this country, but let's not touch that.
There is, and then the most American person that I know, Nick Offerman, is joining as well.
Nice.
And I love him. He's awesome in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah.
I only wanted to throw this out there because, I mean, obviously Lego is such a huge force in Legoland, but also in video games now, because they're just making, the Star Wars ones, then they got the Ninjago. Then they also have, what's the other one? The, Harry Potter as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it's a good cast.
Be animated or like, what are they talking about doing?
I don't know. I got excited about the cast. I just wanted to read names.
Are they going to pull like a Flight of the Conchords and make them wear boxes that make them look Lego-like?
I think it's gonna be live action Legos,
dude. I know, right? Like, is it gonna be Allison Brie playing with Legos? Like, what?
All you're gonna see is a box on the head, and then Allison's breasts, and then people are like, I'm down.
Yeah, most guys will be like, I'll go see that movie. Hell yeah.
I wonder who she's going to hook up with.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Okay. And that was the line of decency.
Have you, I checked this out. I freaked out when I saw this, but I saw the World War Z trailer this week.
Oh, my God. So epic.
If you have not seen this trailer, go to apple.com or check out a trailer. If you have a trailer app.
Yeah. IMDb has it on their app, too.
Yeah, it looks pretty incredible. Now, I mean, of course there's going to be questions and concerns because there's been rewrites on this movie like crazy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But from the trailer, it's a new type of zombie and I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Well, I was at a party last night and I was showing people the trailer because we were talking about movies in our little corner of nerddom. And a lot of them, like the one complaint you got from some people were, no, zombies move slow. Zombies always move slow. You can't do this.
Well, obviously, they didn't see 28 Days Later.
I was just going to say, I was like, well, the way that I explain it is there are two different kinds of zombies, okay? There are zombies that are zombies because they're dead and came back to life, and then there are zombies that are zombies because of an infection. If it's an infection and they can run faster, that could be a side effect of an infection, but dead things move slow, and I get that.
And let's just make it clear, zombies have only, the concept of a zombie's only been around for a little over 20 years now.
A little more than that, but it wasn't made into the zombie we know today until about 20 years ago.
Right. And so there's still new ideas coming out about this, and I just don't want people to kill it. Like, they have this the mindset. I've talked to a couple friends, and you know, one of them, you know, just hated the idea because of the fact that zombies were, they look like a pack of ants.
Oh, but oh my gosh, the trailer is terrifying. I cannot even imagine what the movie's going to be like.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty awesome.
I feel like zombies have been so played out over the past couple of years that this is something fresh and interesting, and I'm really, really intrigued by it.
Plus, it has Brad Pitt, so.
I mean, yeah, and freaking John Malkovich, okay? I'm more excited. Oh, I'm sorry, never mind. That's a different zombie film. I just totally got messed up.
At least it's not me all the time.
No, I just totally. Okay, so I was
actually
going to
mark
it
down. Hold on. Today Nick on episode up. 2, Nick fucked up.
Nick got his information wrong. No, okay, yeah, it's Brad Pitt, and that was interesting. If we're done with this news piece, I'd like to throw a general, hey, you should probably know about this out there. I don't know if it's a part of a segment. It's not news, really, but either way.
Oh, go ahead, man. This is our podcast. We do whatever the fuck we want.
Sweet.
All they can do is listen.
Okay, so there is a movie coming that I don't think enough people know about called Warm Bodies. Have you heard of this?
I gotta admit, I saw that there was a trailer for it, and I just zoomed past. I didn't even give it a chance.
Oh, okay. Warm Bodies is a book. It is one of the best novels, period. Not novels in a zombie genre, not just novels, period, that I've read in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. It is a completely new take on zombies. It is a zombie film that is told first person from the zombie's perspective as an inner monologue.
Hmm.
And he falls in love with a human girl, but he can't, like, yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't even describe to you how amazing this is. The movie looks,
I can't even wrap my head around it.
You need to watch the trailer. Or honestly, better yet, read the book. It is mind-blowingly good. I cannot even describe to you how good it is.
Do they do books on tape? Because I don't know, you know.
They might. It is an engrossing read, though. The movie looks amazing. John Malkovich is in it. It is, watch the trailer. I think that you'll see it and be really excited.
So when we were talking about the World War Z, all you could do is think about the Warm Bodies.
I mean, yeah, I'm getting them, like, because both trailers came out, like, on the same day, and I, like, almost wet myself with excitement for both of them, so.
You do that a lot.
I mean, I have one reaction.
I get excited, and either A, I'm really excited, and I poop, or I'm just a little excited, and I wet myself.
Yeah, I mean, this is how that works.
I do not want to sit next to you in a theater.
You just don't want... What?
Honey,
you just don't,
what's,
I mean,
that, what's that smell? Oh, my I God.
Mean, Nick, you know, Nick's wearing a diaper. It's all good.
Yeah, you have to wear a diaper everywhere.
Nick, is this a place I might get excited? I got to break out the Depends.
I got to go to Costco. They have them on discount.
Oh, my gosh, Costco.
So, let's move on. Let's hold. Mm-hmm. Let's put our hands together and skip to the box office battlefield.
Oh,
All right, let's take a look at what film took in the most cash. And we do that from 5 to 1.
All right.
So number 5 was Taken 2, still in the top 5.
Oh my gosh, that movie just will not die.
Of course not. Hello. I will find your top 5.
and I will kill them.
I will have my family. And at number 4 is a movie that I really desperately want to go see, but I just haven't had the chance yet, is Argo.
Oh, man. I saw that one this week, too. You need to see that.
And that pulled in 6.7, so topping out at 85. Awesome. 85.7.
Good. It deserves it.
It's going to break the $100 million, I think, in a few weeks.
Absolutely.
Number 3 is the movie that I just went to go see today. I didn't think I was going to go see any movies, but I got the chance to go see it, which is Flight.
Awesome.
Taking in $15 million for a total of $47.8.
Awesome. So, that's good.
Number 2, did you go see Wreck-It Ralph? I think you said you did.
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, it took number 2 and with $33 million, and it is at $93.7 million.
Okay.
And then number 1, drumroll. I don't know what I just did.
I'm not sure. That wasn't a drumroll. That was like I'm having a seizure.
I was having sex with my mic.
Oh my god.
Number 1 is Skyfall.
Of course.
Making $87.8 million.
Man.
So you think Daniel Craig's pissed off? I bet you he is.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I bet you he is. He probably, if he wanted it to bomb, he did not. Then he should have phoned in a performance, because he did far too well in that movie for it to bomb.
Oh, I guess I'll do 2 more. And make millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's not what happens. Okay, well, that's the box office battlefield. Up next, let's go to Who Dat. All right, we choose an actor each week who isn't in the spotlight, but should be. This week, I chose somebody who is near and dear to my heart, because I kind of grew up on him a little bit, and I became a huge fan, which is Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Do you know much of Bruce Campbell?
I do. I am a fan of Evil Dead. Okay. I also had the chance to go see the Evil Dead musical in Canada when it was running, and that was just unbelievable.
Was he in that?
He wasn't, but I'm tying that to him because he basically created that entire idea.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Evil Dead, not as familiar with him. I'm looking through his stuff right now.
He hasn't done a ton of stuff. A lot of it has been, animated. I mean, well, he has done a ton of stuff, but
I was gonna say, he's in like 101 different things on IMDb, man.
They're mostly just kind of, just guest spots, you know. They're not, real big, parts in movies.
For sure.
The one thing that everyone listening will know him from is from the Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah, he was the ringside announcer, right?
He's been a part in every movie. In the first one, he was the ringside announcer. In the second one, he was the bellboy at the theater. And in the third one, he was the waiter that was with the ring.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I totally remember that.
And I have to say, he, in every scene that he was in those movies, he just steals the scenes. It is just awesome. He's a great actor. He's best friends with Sam Raimi. They grew up together.
Oh, that makes sense.
If you ever get a chance, if you haven't, the one movie that's a necessity to watch of his, and I will say, is Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
If you've never, I mean, you may, if you're not a horror fan, this is the perfect movie for you. Because the fact that, yes, it deals in the horror kind of trilogy of Evil Dead. I mean, but it's more of a comedy. But it's awesome. And of course, he's in Burn Notice now. But I still don't think that Burn Notice gets a real big, it doesn't have like a giant following. Because whenever
I've honestly never seen it.
Yeah, so whenever I bring up Bruce Campbell, you know, or Burn Notice, people just are like, who?
I mean, wasn't there like an SNL skit about a game show whose sole purpose was to figure out what Burn Notice was about?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Check it out. I'm pretty sure like the name of the show was, "What is Burn Notice?" And like it was people
It was people guessing about what it was.
That's messed up. That's really messed up. Okay, so Bruce Campbell also is a, he's also a great writer. He's wrote two books.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wrote a book called If Chins Could Kill. I've read both of them. That is an amazing book, If Chins Could Kill. And then he also made, Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. And what he, it is awesome. It's not what you think. It's a autobiography, but in done, as a movie. It's really, really, it's really weird. It's been years since I've read it. I want to read it again, but, he's a great, he's a great guy and a great actor. And, that just has not gotten his due in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one other movie that he was in that I wanted to spotlight because he was just really awesome in it.
Congo?
What is it?
Congo?
No, he plays Elvis. Oh, he was also in Sky High. He was the gym teacher in Sky High. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. I mean, he's had these little roles and stuff, but, oh, Bubba Hotep.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Bubba Hotep, it is.
Go see Bubba Hotep.
Go rent it. It should be on Netflix. I mean, it's old enough.
It's so much fun.
It is a great fun movie. And he's also, I mean, he's done just so much stuff that you would, as soon as you see his face, you're going to recognize who he is. But that's the spotlight. A good guy who just hasn't gotten his due. So that brings us to one-liners.
One-liners.
Now, one-liners is your reviews in 140 characters. Once again this week, we fell short of our quota of getting one-liner.
we appreciate the effort of Thomas Hardy at SoulCat1131 for trying. He threw a couple of movie quotes at us.
He thought it was movie quotes.
I mean, and that I guess if we're not clear about that, one-liners does. He threw us some one-liners.
He did
throw
us a one-liner, but just to make it straight, one-liners is your film reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, go ahead and take it away and let them know where they can reach us for those.
All right. So step one, go see a movie that either we're seeing or not seeing. Step two, give us a 140 character review on Twitter and tag us. So I guess it'll be a little less than 140 characters at Real Talk Film. If you have room after your review, add hashtag one-liners just so we can see it and know to put it in the right pile. We will read the best reviews that we find, or at this point, any reviews that we get on the air.
That's right. And this week, we want your one-liners for, I mean, it's the only one movie that really looks like anyone's going to go see. And, I mean, honestly, if we get any guy one-liners on this, they better be good. And you better have a reason, like you went with your mom, you went with your sister.
Twilight.
Twilight.
I will full on say that I mean, if I need to go see that for the podcast, I might take the bullet, but I might just have a chick go see it and come in and do that section of the review for me.
Well, your only other options are Anna Karina.
Uh-huh.
Or Silver Lining Playbook or Price Check. And that's it.
I'll look into it. I really am not a Twilight person fan at all. So.
All right, so give us your one-liners. Let us know what your reviews are for Twilight.
Yeah.
And
Also, Lincoln, it had a limited release on Friday, but that is officially being released kind of slowly over this week nationwide. Go see Lincoln. Give us a one-liner. Okay. If you haven't given us a one-liner for Skyfall, I know even Jeremy hasn't seen that one yet. You really should give us a one-liner for that.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Since there's only Twilight coming out this week, we will accept one-liners for 007. 007. And for Lincoln. And Twilight. So please definitely hit us up. That's at Twitter again at Real Talk Film. And then, of course, on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Talk Film. So, what are you watching?
Are you watching closely?
This is what we saw this week. So, it's simple as that. What'd you go see, Nick?
I saw both Lincoln and Skyfall.
Okay. Now, I kind of want an in-depth a little bit of, I don't want to be mean and say that I don't want to know about Lincoln, but I'm definitely more interested in Skyfall because I haven't seen Skyfall.
Right.
Lincoln looks interesting, but it looks like, for me, it looks like a rental.
Oh, okay.
I know that sounds kind of crazy. I mean,
you're more the action guy. Lincoln and that kind of movie is more my side of the podcast. So I get that.
It's not that I don't want to go see it. It's the fact that there's so many others that I want. I mean, Flight is not an action movie that. It was very a great movie. It's just that Lincoln didn't appeal to me to go to a theater and see it. So what'd you think?
Lincoln. Okay, I'll start with Lincoln since we're not going to go super in depth on that. Lincoln was amazing. If you are at all a fan of period pieces, of biopics, of just really of seeing a movie that is absolutely going to win at the very least an Academy Award for Best Actor, very possibly a Best Supporting Actor or Best Supporting Actress. It is phenomenal. Spielberg did a fantastic job. Daniel Day-Lewis just becomes Lincoln. He has a very unique ability to be characters. And so I thought it was fantastic. Tommy Lee Jones was also very, very good in it. But go see it. You'll know if you're the person who wants to see that film. It was amazing. It was really good.
You know what movie I went to go see? My last period piece movie, like a serious one, was The Civil War. And that was a 4-hour movie. I don't even know if
you
it's
mean,
called
You the... mean Gods and Generals.
Oh, God, yes. And I... was okay. praying to God that the generals would stop the war. Okay.
No, this is significantly better than Gods and Generals.
I sat there and I said, well, there's 2 hours. Maybe the second 2 hours is better. I went and peed, got some more popcorn. I was like, well, I'll be okay. And then it ended up, I almost fell asleep.
No, this is significantly better. It only covers the last 4 months of Lincoln's life. So basically it covers the passage of the 13th Amendment that ended slavery in the Constitution. And it also covers the end of the Civil War and how the treaty, like the peace, it was all brought about. And then also, spoiler alert, it covers his death.
He died?
I know.
He's not still here?
No, he's not.
I actually
had someone get mad at me for saying that when I gave him a quick review of
Unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable. Why would anyone not know that?
I'm just like, dude, Lincoln died, okay?
I mean, he's only the 120th president. Minus a few.
I would say that's more than double the number of presidents we've ever had.
Anyway, he was the most important.
So that's Lincoln. Now, Skyfall, which you haven't gotten to see, so I'm not going to give anything away.
You can tell me plot and stuff. Just don't give away anything. Here's what I want to know is what you thought, because this is what pissed me off about the movie, is that a beer company, Heineken, went ahead and paid to replace his martinis.
He still gets a martini in it, though.
Okay, but he also drinks a Heineken.
He does, but in an appropriate place.
Okay, so it's not like it just totally changes the whole character.
No, not at all. Plot wise, it's very, very good. It is, you know, the it opens with a pretty epic chase actually through Istanbul. He ends up, and you can get this from the trailer, so I feel comfortable saying this. He ends up getting, basically they assume he's dead. M makes a call that, oh, you know, he's, you know, take the shot if you're going to hit the guy, and they miss the guy, they hit Bond, and he just disappears. And so he's drinking the Heineken the next time you see him in like a beach bar. Right. So it makes sense with where he is. He's just completely disheveled and out of shape and is enjoying a beer at like this ridiculous bar. And so that makes sense. I didn't feel, had you not said Heineken paid him, I would not have thought anything of it.
I see. Okay. So let me run down my list of necessities for a movie that we discussed earlier today.
Okay.
So it had explosions.
Absolutely, and everywhere. It was amazing.
Okay.
There's I really want this to be a surprise for you, so I'm not going to say too much, but there is like an adult version of Home Alone in this movie that is unbelievable.
Ooh. I loved Home Alone.
I know, and this is like Home Alone with lethal action. It's amazing.
That, you have me more intrigued now.
Yeah.
There was action, of course.
There was absolutely action. It's James Bond.
And boobs.
Okay, so it's PG-13, mm-hmm. so there wasn't anything straight. There was a shower scene with...
Well, I mean, no, I mean, the Bond movies have always not, you know...
Been tasteful,
right,
yeah.
Right, they've been tasteful, but I mean, when okay, I say boobs, it doesn't need to be... it doesn't need to be... boobs. It doesn't have... Way to... That's the one way you can derail our podcast. Just say boobs. I could be in the most... And I could be like, listen... The Constitution of the United States, boobs. But, you know, as long as it's tasteful. Of course, I'm just it's just kidding around
right.
About my list.
No,
but
the,
not
the
really,
Bond,
kind of
the Bond girl, quote-unquote, was perfect. His sidekick
was
also
name?
Very attractive. Oh, crap, I don't remember.
Was it Pussy Willow?
No, it wasn't any of that, like, I think the one allusion they did to that kind of Bond girl name was in Casino Royale when he said that your name was Stephanie Broadchest. but I really feel like they meant to make fun of that and then leave it behind. So,
aww.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of, but you can go watch Austin Powers and still get enough of that.
You're right.
But no, I mean, she was very attractive. She was perfect for the part. It was, I mean, all around, it was a really solid Bond film. Casino Royale is still my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will say that, but this was very, very good. And I feel like it delved a lot more into Bond's history and as a person, something that a lot of films haven't done.
Okay.
So, like, it talks about his parents, for instance, and,
really?
It's really, yeah, it's really good.
Interesting. Okay, well, I can't wait to go see it.
You need to see it, man.
Ask me what I went to go see.
You went to see Flight. I'm so excited about hearing about this. Please tell
me. No,
no,
no, just ask me.
Oh, what did you go see?
Flight.
Oh, my God.
I know! So, I went to go see Flight, and, man, did it spread its wings.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do as many puns as I can.
I was going to say, are you trying to do, like, as corny news podcast as you can? Because yes, you're succeeding so yeah. far.
Let me just tell you, once you get into your cockpit and and you take off with this film.
Oh, my God.
It was excellent. I can't tell you.
I think even the movie phone guy just rolled over and was like, what the hell is he doing?
The film, it was great. I don't have too many, it definitely isn't the movie that you are planning to go see when
okay.
When you see the trailer.
Interesting.
It really is an addiction movie.
Mm.
It dives into, his whole life as being, I don't know if you want me to tell you all of this, but, I'm going to anyways.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
It dives into him being an alcoholic and a drug user. Mm. And it really, it's a battle, with himself through the movie more than trying to prove his innocence. Of the pretty much the company and the insurance and the you know, the lawyers trying to prove that, he was the cause of the accident. So it was really, really good. You know, there's a lot of brokenness to the characters.
By
the end of the movie, you do feel a little bit better. But you're still left off with oh man, that sucks. So, but I definitely suggest, going to see it if you can. I don't think, I don't think it's going to be your number one movie to go see, but if you have some extra money, in your pockets, you know, it's a good, if you've already seen Skyfall, if you've already seen Lincoln, and you don't want to go see Twilight, go check out Flight. It's really good.
Yeah. Okay. So. Awesome. I mean, it's next on my list. I'm waiting on one of my friends to go see it with me.
Okay. Well, that's what we're watching. But let's go on to, being pissed off in the rant.
Oh, the rant.
I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, English, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole.
You stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisionous junk.
You shit-kicking, stinky, horse-manure-smelling motherfucker, you.
What pisses us off in Hollywood? And before that, before your intro there, before the pretty music that you just played, You just said, oh, the rant. Like, you didn't want to hear the rant.
No, I'm, this rant is very, very important to me, and that's why I'm, that's why I said that.
Okay, because when I sent it to you, I didn't know, you know, you didn't write back or anything. I understand you're partying really hard last night, so.
Yeah.
But,
No, I didn't write back because I wanted to just be like, all right, I want to know why this is, why that came up for the rant this week. Like, why that's a big deal for you.
Listen, lately I've seen a couple movies with these people in it.
Like RZA in Man with the Iron Fist.
Right. And, I mean, you just gave it away. Good job. I was trying to build it up. I'm trying to be a podcaster here and, like, build up excitement. And people are going to be like, oh, what's he going to say next? And you just came in and you just killed it.
Dude, you have, like, a million movies of singers and rappers that you could pick from.
Okay, so if you haven't guessed it already, I'm talking about singers and rappers turned Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I don't think, listen, just because you're a singer doesn't automatically make you a good actor. And mm-hmm. I don't think that, see, here's the problem. You have hundreds and thousands of people who go to Hollywood just to be an actor. They train for their whole entire lives to do mm-hmm. this. And then you have singers who, yes, they put in the work, they put in the time to be singers and to be good at their craft, but that's the craft that you're good at. You don't need to cross lines because you get fucking bored in between albums and you right. think that you can go ahead and be an actor and be like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be mm-hmm. great at it. I have not, give me a movie that has been amazing that has starred a rapper or a singer. Please.
Starred or co-starred?
Either.
Okay, co-starred would be Mos Def as Left Ear in The Italian Job.
Give me another. Another.
I can't. I'm outside of Mos. Oh, what's the one with Common in it? The movie, the first one, not the second one. The movie that's Seven Lucky Aces? Is that what it is? Smokin' Aces. There we go.
I need a third.
Those are literally the only two I've got written
okay,
down here.
So the two movies, the only two that you can come up with, which were, they're respectable, but no one has starred in a movie. And if I'm wrong, hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, tell me I'm wrong, but I'm serious here. It should not happen. It happens all the time. And mm-hmm. it pisses me off because of the fact that you're taking away jobs from actors that actually are good at what they do.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a very big deal and a very real deal. I think in the case, I'll give RZA a pass because he funded the movie.
Yeah. If you're going to fund the movie and you're going to put out the money for it.
Right.
So do you want, you can do anything you want. But if you're taking someone else's.
I will give RZA, 50 Cent, and Eminem a pass because they all paid for their movies.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about those guys. Damn it. Yeah. Okay. Eminem was fine. 50 was fine. My rant is falling apart.
Oh my gosh. I am just poking holes in it. Like
my
so
eyes.
Bad.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Let me restart this. So. 85% of singers and rappers do not belong in Hollywood.
I totally did not go into I was like 100% supportive of this rant, but I just fucking destroyed you. Like everything that you were saying just doesn't hold up anymore.
It does, man. I just corrected it. 85%. 85.
Oh man. I think really, for the most part, so rappers, absolutely, I'm with you. But singers in particular, so like anything Christina Aguilera has ever been in.
Anything Britney Spears has been in. Oh, this is what brought it up too. Miley Cyrus in that movie. It doesn't even matter. I don't remember it. My wife was, it was on TV and it had Greg Kinnear in it. He was he had a great performance in it, but, mm-hmm. But Miley Cyrus, it was so dead. It was like looking at a board talking, a piece of wood, just like...
Yeah, that's not... that's just not okay. I mean, there are... So I'm glad you changed it to 85%. There are some musicians who cross over really, really well. So Ice Cube, for instance, is a decent action star. I don't know that him starring in anything is okay, but I think his persona is really funny.
I think that if they play themselves, they can get away with it sometimes. Like Ice Cube pretty much played himself in Friday.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like a stretch. For him.
Right. Well, I mean, even when you go to the sequel to Triple X, like, it was
I didn't like that movie.
I didn't either. It was a stupid action film, but I thought his persona was, he's still playing Ice Cube.
Yeah, I mean, it's not changing. I mean, so
right.
I think if they're doing that, like, Eminem was great because he played Eminem.
Right,
50
exactly.
Cent was great because he played 50 Cent.
Right.
But
now,
you
with
get
that being
in
said,
roles.
With that being said though, Mos Def, I mean, Mos Def, I think
we're not
is a
focusing
legitimate...
on the good guys, man. The rant is for the pissed off side of it.
All right. Well, then you know what? I just say musicians focus on doing better music and stop this. Like,
yeah, you're not even putting out great albums, you assholes.
I know. I mean, come on. If you haven't put out a ridiculously awesome album and or the movie that you're about to be in isn't about the music industry, I think that's really the crossover, right? Because even as we talk about Eminem and 50 Cent and these guys, like, those were music industry movies.
Right, and so maybe those didn't even count, so maybe I could move up my bar to 95%.
Yeah. I already said they didn't count because they paid for it themselves, which means no studio believed in it enough to put a serious amount of money behind it.
All right, my rant's back on.
Oh my god, I'm not. I don't know that I can cut any of this rant, dude.
No, you don't, man. This is how we talk, man. This is how we go. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So if you're not okay, listen. If you're a rapper, if you're not getting five mics in the source, don't go to acting because you know what? You haven't perfected your own craft yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a singer. And you're not selling out stadiums yet, and you're not putting out albums that are everlasting and classics, don't go into acting. You know why? Because mm-hmm. you haven't perfected your craft. I'm not trying to do your job. I'm a fat man sitting in a chair talking on a mic. That's what I'm good at.
Yep.
I'm not going to try to be an actor. I'm not going to try to be a singer. So, that's my rant.
No, I'm with you. I think that's good.
Well, let's wrap things up.
Yes, indeed.
Episode 2 is in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us again this week. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. This is Jeremy.
I'm Nick.
And until next time, go see some movies.